Hey guys, welcome to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. On this podcast, we will be discussing all things culture, politics, lifestyle, and current events. Come along for the ride. The vaccine mandates go to the Supreme Court, the CDC still doesn't know what science is, every country apparently hates freedom, and we have Joe Biden's year in review. All this and more on Unpopular Opinions. Welcome back to Unpopular Opinions, everyone. Hope everybody had a great break over December. Good New Year, good Christmas, great holidays. Today's going to be a really big podcast. A lot went on, a lot's been happening. We're what, 10 days in, 11 days into 2022, and the news does not stop. So first things first, if you guys have not realized this by now, everyone in the government is stupid, corrupt, or both. Like, I don't know that there are competent people in our government at this point. And we could also extend that overseas, and I'll get to that later. But Joe Biden and his merry band of misfits are continuing to try and run the country into the ground. However, there is a spark of hope. The unconstitutional vaccine mandates are being fought in the Supreme Court, and they went to oral arguments on Friday. So hopefully we'll be hearing a ruling come out relatively soon. But there's audio that has come out from the justices, and the liberal justices, so that's Elena Kagan, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor. Two of them are just hacks who, if they like the policy, they're going to flag it on through. If they don't, they're going to try to stop it and turn it down. They don't have any regard for the Constitution of the United States. Sonia Sotomayor, on the other hand, I'm pretty positive that I could pluck, I don't want to give anyone too much credit here, but I could probably pick somebody from my friend group or, you know, within the last 100 people I've met who have more brain cells than she does and understand what the Constitution is and basic logic. So these Supreme Court justices, most notably Sonia Sotomayor, she was spreading COVID misinformation, and you could hear it on the recording. She says, "We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators due to the coronavirus." So this is such an egregiously wrong claim that PolitiFact, which is not a right-wing organization, gave this a completely false rating. At the time she made this comment, so that would have been Friday, January 7th, at the time she made the comment, federal data had showed fewer than 5,000 COVID-positive children were in the hospital. In fact, since the beginning of the pandemic, so since August 2020, there have been fewer than 83,000 children hospitalized for COVID-19. 83,000. So she's not right in, like, she's wrong on every facet. In fact, she is so wrong that Dr. Fauci himself completely destroys her narrative. So Dr. Fauci said on the news, he said, "If you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we meant by that, if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID and they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID." So I'm simply waiting for Sotomayor to be banned from Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, maybe any of these platforms for misinformation, because blatant misinformation, blatantly false. She also made some other just absolutely wild assertions, like, how is a human breathing different than a machine spewing sparks? I'm like, Is that really what you're going with? I mean, clearly there's a very, very big difference. We cannot live without breathing, and we have sentience, and we have ways of protecting ourselves from each other if we so choose. So the OSHA mandate, I think, is probably dead in the water. Thank God. The healthcare mandate, that may be a little more tricky because they're trying to use federal funding powers, so Medicare and Medicaid, to enforce these vaccine mandates on hospitals and healthcare providers, which the federal government does not have this authority. Like, completely read the Constitution and the Enumerated Powers Clause. This is another thing that Sotomayor said that was just so stupid. She said, why, if states have police powers, why does the federal government not have these same police powers? And it's literally in the text of the Constitution. Any fifth grader should know the Enumerated Powers Clause of the Constitution. You know, any powers not explicitly granted to the federal government nor denied to the states is the right of the states. Like, the Enumerated Powers Clause, kind of a big deal. Just a thought. You know, founding documents, Supreme Court justice, maybe you should know it. Maybe. Get two brain cells to rub together. Perhaps. So yeah, fun stuff there. Showing just how stupid you can be as a Democrat and fail your way all the way to the Supreme Court. Like, God, it makes me so sad. I work really hard. And, like, how do people this stupid get into the halls of power? Like, I can't even. So, on to the next fact. Since we're talking about COVID, that I'm sure everyone is absolutely sick and tired of talking about, the CDC, they cannot tell how many people have died from COVID or who have died with COVID. Now, if anyone remembers back to the beginning of the pandemic where we're saying, hey guys, somebody got in a motorcycle accident and died, and they called it a COVID death. Somebody died of a heart attack, and they call it a COVID death. Someone died from a car crash, and they're calling it a COVID death. Like, conservatives, or anyone who has a brain, have been saying this literally since the pandemic began. And so the CDC now has no idea. How is this possible? You had 2 years. 2 years to figure this stuff out. So, Rochelle Walensky is on with Brett Baier on Fox News. They've had 800,000 plus deaths and 2 years to investigate, and she had no answer. He asked, do you know how many people died from versus with COVID? She had no clue, deer in headlights, no answer, just avoided the question. The incompetence is just so bad. I just don't understand it. I heard a report today that she's been undergoing media training for like the past 4 months because she's so bad at giving interviews. It's and all you gotta do is watch her interviews. She's dreadful. She's unbelievably awful. But she's on a interview with Good Morning America, the Good Morning America Morning Rundown. And she confirms at this point that 75% of COVID deaths have had four or more comorbidities. Four or more. So anyone who was afraid of dying from this thing, unless you have four or more comorbidities, you're probably fine. Like, that's insane. This thing is so much less deadly than we've been led to believe by the absolute fearmongers in the media. All they're trying to do is just scare you into giving the federal government more and more power, give the elites more and more power, order more stuff from Amazon, spend more time on Facebook. Like, just give all of your money to these big corporations, big government. And don't worry, they always have your best interests at heart, don't they? Like, no. anyone who, most people who listen to this, I'm sure, have already gone back to normal life. But just use this little nugget of information to please try to convince some of your friends who might not be quite so enlightened to stop worrying. Stop wearing the face mask. If they've got the vaccine, they're protected. Go back to normal life. That's it. It's really simple. All you got to do, live your life like normal. Forget that the vaccine, forget that COVID was ever a thing, because there's no way we're getting rid of it. Vaccines do not protect against transmission. They protect against severe illness and death and hospitalization. So go back to your life. Go back to your life. Stop looking at everyone like they're going to kill you. Stop being afraid of breathing. Go back to your life. Unless you have four comorbidities, you're probably fine. Peter McCullough, who I'll talk about more later, was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and he had a quote from there, and he says, he quotes directly from the CDC website. He says, all we know on the CDC website is the CDC website says that about 90% of deaths that have occurred with COVID-19 have been associated with significant comorbidities, meaning other major problems that were in the approximate pathway to death. The Italians have just recorded all their deaths. They say 97% of the Italian deaths, meaning someone had heart failure, advanced lung disease, kidney disease, on dialysis, advanced cancer, were due to the comorbidities and not necessarily from COVID. So essentially, like I said, you're fine. The air is not going to kill you. Live your life. But in other news, more good news and incompetence, there is a new COVID vaccine coming out of Texas. This vaccine is about $1 to $1.50 per dose, and the federal government didn't think to do anything with it or even put any money behind it at all. So, I don't know, maybe there's some, handshaking, strings being pulled in the government, you know, getting in bed with Big Pharma, who knows? But this is a small laboratory in Texas that had to get privately funded because they're using old vaccine, proven vaccine technology. It's the same technology from the hepatitis B. So they use basically dead proteins from the virus to trigger an immune response. So I'll tell you a little bit about this. This comes from NPR. The vaccine is called Corbivax, and it began development 2 decades ago. This doctor, Peter Hotez and Maria Elena Botazzi, were medical researchers at George Washington University in D.C., and they were working on a SARS vaccine when SARS broke out in 2003. It never turned into a pandemic, thank God, so they kind of had like half the vaccine built out, but then everything, you know, went away with SARS. They kind of put it on the back burner. What they had done, though, is they created a vaccine using protein subunit technology. And so that involves using proteins from a virus or bacterium that can induce an immune response but not cause disease. Okay, so we have either this brand new mRNA that we've never seen tested long term. We have Johnson & Johnson, which is also a new-ish. And then we have an oldie but goodie that the government's just like, don't worry about it. So it's the same technology as the hepatitis B vaccine that's been around for decades. And Hotez believes people were so fixated on innovation that nobody thought, hey, maybe we could use a low-cost, durable, easy-breezy vaccine that can vaccinate the whole world. Those are his words, not mine. I don't say easy-breezy very frequently. He said, we honestly couldn't get any traction in the U.S., but our mission is always to enable technologies for low- and middle-income countries to produce and use, Botazzi recalls. So what essentially is going to happen with this vaccine, we're not going to market it to any of the United States citizens because why? I mean, we have the mRNA. We have the new shiny stuff that, you know, there's some people don't trust, quite frankly. And again, that's their decision. I think any vaccination decision should be made between you and your doctor, and you should be allowed to make those decisions and not be either bribed, as I saw, I think a police department in Little Rock is doing. They're providing free lunch in a vaccine clinic for people, like, or the disgusting de Blasio was trying to bribe people to get vaccinated for Shake and by giving them free Shake Shack and vaccination should be personal choice. Talk through with your doctor. But instead of giving people something that has been on the market for, 20, 25 years, a technology that's known and proven, that's all going to go to the low and middle income countries. Even though we could fully distribute it here because the patent for this new Corbevax vaccine is going to be completely free. So that's some good news. But while we are on the topic of COVID and, these crazy lefties just trying to use it to squeeze every ounce of power out of the government that they can, let's talk about some tech censorship and some more authoritarian BS from these COVID-crazed people. So, I don't know how many of you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. Highly recommend it. I'm going to link to the two episodes I discuss here in the show notes. Phenomenal. If you guys have 6 hours to burn or, just want to go on a couple road trips. Great, great shows. One is Dr. Peter McCullough, who I already quoted earlier, and the other one is Robert Malone. So both of these doctors have been completely villainized in the media because they don't toe the line with the vaccine and the COVID narrative. So Peter McCullough goes on Joe Rogan's show and basically breaks the internet. He is an internist, cardiologist, and he's trained in epidemiology. He has an academic practice in Dallas, Texas, sees patients about 50% of the time. He is the founder and current president of the Cardiorenal Society of America and the co-editor-in-chief of the Society's journal, Cardiorenal Medicine. He's also an editor of the journal Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine. He's had over 650 publications in the National Library of Medicine. And because Peter McCullough has ideas and research and studies and facts about how to treat COVID, not just get vaccinated, and he doesn't toe the line with this vaccine narrative that's being pushed by everyone and their brother, he's basically being deplatformed. So you try and look him up on YouTube, Google, first thing you're going to see is, all these articles calling him a crazy vaccine denier and all this stuff, right? Just go listen to the show. It's about 3 hours long, so I can't go through all of it here for you. But he talks about, hey, Japan has a COVID treatment plan. It's not just get vaccinated. It's if you get COVID, here are the medications we give you. If you are in contact with somebody who has COVID, here's the procedures and protocols we follow. And he lines all of this out so that there's now more than just one vaccine. Like, no, there are multiple pillars of protecting people from this pandemic, and no one else in the media has said two words about it. And so they're threatened that this vaccine narrative is going to get derailed by him. So if you look him up on YouTube, on Google, you're going to find nothing but people trying to discredit him, disprove him. His qualifications speak for himself. He is, like, it is eye-opening, jaw-dropping, what he says on the Joe Rogan show. And honestly, if you listen to it with an open mind, you'll learn some things. The next one, which I think might be the very next episode, if not like an episode after, with Joe Rogan, is Robert Malone. Now, this guy, he holds 9 patents for the mRNA technology that has been used in these vaccines. So, really, those credentials should be enough anyway. But in case they're not, he's run over 100 clinical trials, mostly in the vaccine space. He's worked with the NIH. He's worked with DITRA, which is the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. He has dealt with Dr. Fauci his whole career. I mean, this guy, he also has credentials for miles. And he knows how the mRNA works. He understands the science. And because he's not towing the line, he's been removed from every platform. He's been banned from LinkedIn twice, and he was able to get those both reinstated, so he doesn't really post much there anymore. He is permanently banned off Twitter right now because reasons. Like, oh, hey, yeah, just a doctor who invented mRNA technology, owns 9 patents for it. But, yeah, everyone tries to discredit him because he doesn't toe the line with the narrative. It's absolutely insane. His story is, first of all, super cool, how he became a doctor. I mean, very, very accomplished medical professional. I'll link to his patents in the show notes just so you can check yourself if, you know, you don't believe me. For anyone who wants to doubt Robert Malone, because if you Google Robert Malone, all you see, again, just like with Peter McCullough, is hit pieces. Vaccine denier doctor, blah, da, 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 da. You know, you go on YouTube, almost all of the... So you can still find some clips from Peter McCullough on YouTube, but if you try and find Robert Malone or Robert Malone Joe Rogan on YouTube, almost all of them have been scrubbed. Like, people are afraid of his information getting out. And this is one of the things that I think people don't quite realize. So whenever a government tries to take more power, the first thing they have to do is control the media. And actually, anyone who has Netflix, there's a series called How to Be a Dictator. And one of the episodes is control the media. Like, wake up. This is what's happening. We're seeing a concentrated effort of controlled media happening between big tech and big mainstream media right now and the government. They are all acting as basically a one-party actor, and they are trying to monopolize the messaging. And so, essentially, when they say, you know, I saw a meme recently, and it's like, all the doctors agree. And then there, it shows one doctor who disagrees. Banned. All doctors agree. Like, there's no better way to validate someone's credentials than by banning them if they go against your narrative. It's absolutely insane to me, especially when people are this qualified. I don't know how stupid big tech thinks we are and into the mainstream media, but at this point, it's still out of their hands. Thank God Joe Rogan's on Spotify and Spotify is behind Joe Rogan, because otherwise this stuff wouldn't get out there. I believe Robert Malone's Joe Rogan episode has been read into the Library of Congress, so anyone can go and look for the transcript of the Joe Rogan podcast with Robert Malone, and it's in the Library of Congress. So, F you, big tech. Like, unbelievable. But, again, this is how they're trying to maintain power and force people to fall in line with the narrative. Speaking of maintaining power and falling in line with a narrative, in France, President Macron, he's an asshole. Like, full stop asshole. He does not care one bit about French citizens, because no leader would talk about, like, if they actually cared about their citizens, no leader would talk the way he talks about his citizens. So, New York Times World Section posted a tweet saying that President Macron of France drew criticism over his comments about people who had refused coronavirus vaccines. And so the quote they use is, and this is the way they translated it, it says, "I really want to piss off the unvaccinated. And so we are going to continue doing that until the end." And so, like, the policies that he's putting in place, he's trying to remove unvaccinated people from society. Like, he's really, really trying to just ostracize them and make them feel like non-citizens. And the fact that any leader is trying to do that for a medical procedure, like coerce you to get a vaccine that you may or may not want, otherwise you cannot take part in polite society is absolute insanity to me. And last time I checked, France has fought some pretty, they've had some pretty bloody revolutions. So I don't know. I just wouldn't, if I were in France, I wouldn't piss off my citizens. That's all. That's all. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying you look at the history. But things get a little worse here because some French speakers reached out and said that the translation the New York Times posted is not an accurate translation. So the word he used was, I believe it was Emer. And so one of the things Macron said in his efforts, he wanted to shit on the unvaccinated, which is about 5 million French people. And so essentially he's not considering them citizens, and he's pushing for a vaccine passport and all of these just draconian measures, to essentially ostracize any citizens that don't fall in line with what he believes, they should do. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an elected official. You don't get to tell me how to live my, like, what my medical choices should be. Government should be restricted in order for personal freedom to be maximized. That's it. I mean, heck, frick, France is like 90% vaccinated. It's insane. But nowhere that I've seen is quite as bad as Australia. The lockdowns, the mandates, the oppressiveness that I've seen coming out of Australia, they're not letting people go outside to exercise. I believe that just happened like over the weekend in one city in Australia. If you're unvaccinated, you're not allowed to go outside to exercise for an hour. Like, who the F do you think you are? First of all, you're blatantly anti-science. This thing doesn't spread outside, you moron. Second of all, being healthy and getting exercise is one of the best ways to reduce your risk of illness and disease, especially from this disease. So you're trying to lock people in their homes and make them less healthy. You're an idiot. But Novak Djokovic travels to Australia. For any tennis fans, Australian Open's coming up. It starts, I believe, the 17th, if I'm not mistaken. So on January 4th, Novak Djokovic says he's going to Australia. And then on January 5th, Novak's flying, and Australia's prime minister says that Novak will be on the next plane home if he cannot provide acceptable proof that his exemption is legitimate. Acting sports minister then, Jala Pulford, highlights that the local government of Victoria, where the Australian Open is held, will not support Djokovic's visa application. So his visa application, the exemption he got, I believe, was from Tennis Australia to play at the Australian Open. And so his team filed, you know, they thought were all the correct paperwork. He arrives in Melbourne at about 11:30 p.m. And then at 3:15 a.m., Novak Djokovic's father reports that Novak is being held in isolation in Melbourne Airport. So Novak's visa was denied by the Australian Border Force. Djokovic is then moved to a quarantine hotel. So at this point, he had been at the airport from 11:30 p.m. till 5 a.m.? No, till 8:15 a.m. So 11:30 p.m. to 8:15 a.m. He gets put in isolation in the Australia airport. So he gets moved to a quarantine hotel, which from what I hear is like an absolute shithole hotel in Australia. It's like ranked 149th out of 150 hotels in Australia. And this is the hotel that's being used for everyone that needs to be quarantined, political prisoners, or not political prisoners, but like political refugees, things like that. So, and this whole situation is moving so fast. When I heard about this on, I believe, like Wednesday and Thursday, I was preparing to talk about this, and then the situation has changed like six times. So as of this moment when I'm recording, Djokovic has had his visa denial appealed by the judge. And the judge says that Djokovic is to be released immediately. And the reasoning for this is because he did not have enough time to meet with his legal team, and they basically isolated him unjustly. So he was ordered to be released immediately. However, the ministers of Australia, the Home Affairs Minister, I believe, still is contemplating rejecting or canceling Novak's visa and banning him from Australia for 3 years. I'm just I just don't understand these people. I really don't. Novak Djokovic is not a threat to anybody. If he gets sick, he'll be over it in like 3 days or less. Everyone there is vaccinated. So where's the risk? It's the sniffles at this point. So yeah, it's been quite a twisting turn of affairs with Novak Djokovic. But I mean, Australia at this point is just a massive, massive hellhole. Like, at one point it was on my bucket list to visit, and now I have no desire. I have no desire. They don't deserve, honestly, I want freedom-loving Australians to come to the U.S. to help us fight the authoritarian BS that's going on here. Because Australia is a police state. It is disgusting. All you have to do is look. Simple Google search, and you'll find stuff. There was a girl I talked about on the show, I think a couple weeks ago. She was detained for 2 weeks by, like, in a quarantine facility for being quote-unquote exposed to COVID. But she was negative the entire time, and they still forced her out of her home into a quarantine facility where she was restricted in her movements. She could not go where she wanted. If she crossed a certain line, they were going to fine her $5,000. Like, I don't know why people are allowing this to happen. And I honestly think everyone should have boycotted the Australian Open. And if I were Djokovic, if they were to continue and they wanted to cancel his visa or ban him from Australia for 3 years, honestly, even right now, screw it. I wouldn't play the Australian Open. They don't deserve they don't deserve his money. They don't deserve his presence. And what I would do, because he's already done this, he started like the Adria Tour, which got a pretty good number of tennis pros to play back when COVID had first started. And then a few people caught COVID and he had to apologize, whatever, whatever. I would just, if I were him, I would put together a tournament to rival the Australian Open, register it with the ATP, and host it the exact same dates as the Australian Open. F them. Like, seriously. Screw them. Absolutely screw them. It's unbelievable how power-hungry and crazed and just delusional and scared these people are of something that really isn't, based on the data, is not that deadly. Like, who cares, right, if a million people get a cold today? That's what we're essentially doing now with COVID. Who cares? If you're vaccinated or if you're healthy, you don't really have a whole lot to worry about. And I'm not saying that you can't be moderately to severely ill. Like, yes, it might suck. It might be as bad. It might be worse than the flu. I have a family member who's battling COVID right now. Ironically, the symptoms are completely opposite of anything that's ever been said about COVID. But again, you can't make decisions based off of small anecdotal evidence. And when we are seeing that 75%+ of people with COVID have four or more comorbidities, and when the death rate for this thing is like 1%-ish. If you're under 50 years old, live your life. And government officials, F you. Like, stop trying to micromanage and control your populations. And the biggest problem is that I think this kind of goes to a culture thing, because we are so used to not to complying, because everything's just been little bit, just little by little, you know. Oh, I don't want to step out of line. I want to follow the rules. I don't want to offend this person. And it's just happened little by little across every realm of our society, from social interactions to government, you name it. And I think finally people are starting to wake up. However, some people are still not. And this is what's so crazy. Like, Djokovic, I fully support him in his vaccine stance, with he believes it's not the government's business to know whether he's been vaccinated or not. 100%. He's not one of my favorite tennis players, but he's about one of the only ones that has balls at this point. And a lot of people don't anymore. Specifically, Patton Oswalt. So this is a story I know it doesn't quite fit with the theme here, but I really wanted to talk about this story because it's very telling about where we are in our culture. And people are so willing and so quick to sacrifice real personal relationships and connections for the online mob. Or, honestly, for the online mob is what it has become. And so in order to pacify the liberal mob, Patton Oswalt has to throw his good friend Dave Chappelle under the bus. So here's a little story about what happened. Patton Oswalt and Dave Chappelle, they've been friends for like 32 years, if you guys didn't know. Oswalt had a show booked close to Dave Chappelle's arena show in Seattle. When Chappelle noticed this, he sent a text to Oswalt and offered him a guest appearance at the show. So Oswalt accepted, and they took a picture together, which Patton Oswalt posted to his Instagram with the following caption. He said, "Finished me set at McCowall Hall and got a text from at Dave Chappelle." He wrote, "Come over to the arena. He's performing in next door and do a guest set. Why not? I wave goodbye to this hell year with a genius I started comedy with 34 years ago. He works in arena like he's talking to one person and charming their skin off. Anyway, I ended the year with a real friend and a deep laugh. Can't ask for much more." Which, that's a really nice caption, you know, to go with a picture of your friend that you've been friends with for 30 plus years. You've done comedy together for freaking ever. Dave Chappelle's gracious enough to say, "Hey, buddy, you want to come on, do a set for, you know?" Like, all well and good. This could have been really cool. But then, Patton Oswalt's fans on Instagram, they were furious and accused Patton Oswalt of being anti-trans. So immediately, what's he do? Caves. No balls. Caves to the woke mob. He apologizes for his photo. Okay, he says, "I'm sorry, truly sorry, that I didn't consider the hurt this would cause or the depth of that hurt. Ugh. So easy to think someone else," in all caps, "needs growth and miss the need in yourself. Gonna keep trying." Like, are you kidding me, dude? You're just gonna freaking throw your buddy into the freaking fire just under the bus because, God forbid, a stupid freaking liberal mob just, like, drags you on Instagram and Twitter? Do you not understand? Like, I don't understand why anyone would cave to these wretched people. You do not know these people online. You do not know them. They do not provide anything to you. They are not real relationships. And I know some people can have very, you know, like close followings and rabid fans. But for the most part, if anyone's really that big of a fan of yours, they're not going to get mad at you for posting a picture with someone you've been friends with for 34 years. If they're a real fan. No, they do this specifically to make you bend the knee. And so, what's happened? Most people do it. That's why, I guarantee you, that's why I guarantee you a lot of people got vaccinated for the same reason. All the peer pressure, the societal peer pressure. Gotta get vaccinated. You know, same thing with Patton Oswalt. Oh, you're anti-trans because you post a video with Dave Chappelle and then throws his buddy under the bus. But why do we let people who we've never met in our entire life, who basically use us as either a form of entertainment, if we're interacting online, is a form of entertainment or as a public figure, why do we let them influence our activities and our relationships? Wouldn't it make more sense to just, A, post the picture, have it be a nice moment, and get on with your life regardless of what the comments say? That'd be nice. But wouldn't it be even better to stick up for your friend and say, hey, we might have differing views, but he's my friend, and I'm not going to throw him under the bus for this? Or, I don't know, maybe treat your real friend with respect and not bow down to this online woke mob. Like, literally, they don't care about you. They're just going to try to get you to do what they want. So I think a good resolution for, I think, everyone in the culture, grow some balls, stand up for yourself, make your own decisions. Don't be peer pressured by the online woke mob, liberal media, the mainstream media. You know, if you have a disagreement with somebody, go talk to them in person. Like, and just talk about the disagreement, but don't forget why you're friends with that person in the first place. Also, disagreements should probably stay off social media. Like, it's too easy for things to get misconstrued. Have a conversation. Go get a drink. Get a coffee. Sit down. Discuss. Like, if it's that big of a deal, devote the time and effort to cultivate that relationship. Don't, like, stop. Stop caving to the woke mob. Stop doing this. Stop with the online bullshit. Okay, so, well, that rant's over. And now, the moment that we have all been waiting for. Joe Biden's first year in office review. Are we ready? Is anyone excited for this? It's almost like when you play fantasy football and you're excited to see just how bad your opponent did. Except the problem is it's like it's your team, so it's so painful. It's so painful, but you just can't look away. All right, we're gonna give Joe Biden a report card, and we're gonna go through his I don't want to say greatest accomplishments because they all suck, and they're all just terrible. So you can call them what you want. Most impactful things Joe Biden has done, sleepwalked through, mumbled about this year. All right. Coming in at number one, the Afghanistan withdrawal, which I shouldn't be so jovial about this, because this is actually by far the worst possible thing he could have done. he withdrew our troops from Afghanistan on a whim. No planning. No idea what he's doing. Didn't listen to any generals. Forfeit the entire country to the Taliban. Like, lied about it constantly. Said, oh, no, the Afghans can hold the country for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. No, they couldn't. They couldn't hold the country for a week. And so in this hasty withdrawal, we left like $85 billion in weapons. We left them Bagram Air Base. China has come in and posted up in Afghanistan. And while people were falling from planes trying to evacuate on a shoestring timeline, 13 service members were killed in a suicide bombing. There had been zero combat casualties for 18 months, and 13 service members died. So, I'm going to chalk that one up. That's on you, Joe. That is on you, Mr. Joe Biden. 13 service members dead because of your pathetic incompetence. Next, we have record inflation. I don't know about anyone else, but it feels like my budget's getting tighter and tighter simply because everything's getting more expensive. Everything. Gas has been routinely $3 plus all year. I mean, we saved like 16 cents, I think, on 4th of July. But then, you know, Thanksgiving was up like 20%. So, yeah, way to go, Joe. Let's go into some of this inflation numbers. The December numbers won't be out till tomorrow or till January 12th. So we don't have those yet, but we do have everything up through November. So let's look at this. 6.8%. This is record high inflation, by the way. All items on average are up 6.8%. Food, 6.1%. Food at home, so groceries, 6.4%, which if you can even find them, everything. I've never seen this in my life. Bare shelves everywhere. Over Christmas, I had to go. My parents wanted me to pick up some powdered sugar because they had been to a total of 8 stores and they could not find any powdered sugar. So they called me to ask me to pick it up. What? Who? How? I've never once thought that powdered sugar would not be available en masse at grocery stores. And so when I went to the grocery store by me, I found 2 bags. What? I'm at a loss for words. But moving on. So food at home, groceries, 6.4%. Cereals and bakery products, 4.6. Meat, poultry, fish, and eggs. So any of you who like steaks, 12.8%, almost 13% price increase for proteins. Non-alcoholic beverages and beverage materials, 5.3%. Other food at home, whatever that is, 5.7%. And food away from home. I don't know where they get this number. They're saying 5.8% increase from last year on food away from home, which would be like restaurants and dining. I've seen much higher increases than that. Much higher. Some places I used to be able to go for like $14, $20 now. It's insane. Here's the real kick in the teeth for anyone who likes to, I don't know, stay warm in the winter or maybe stay cool in the summer. Energy costs have gone up. This is on average, 33.3%. But that doesn't tell the whole story because fuel oil is up 59.3%. Motor fuel and sub of that, gasoline, 58.1% over last year. Energy services, 10.7, electricity 6.5, and utility. So anyone who keeps their home warm with natural gas, 25% more expensive this year. I don't know how that doesn't break anyone's budget. I mean, thank God most people can work remote now, so we're not spending crazy amounts of money on gas. But you're spending more time at home, so now your utility bill's just going to go up. Like, you're getting screwed on both ends thanks to the absolute just incompetence of the people in power right now. Just unreal. Unreal. You know, new cars and trucks. Let's see, 31.4. Oh, that's for used cars and trucks. New vehicles are only up 11, if you can get them, because of the chip shortage. So used vehicles are up 31%. So I hope no one has any vehicle issues. Services are up 3%. On average, airline fares are down 3.7%. Big whoop. As if anyone wants to fly right now while wearing a freaking dirty chin diaper on their face the entire time they're in the airport. Or if you can even catch your flight. How many flights have been canceled? Probably tens of thousands at this point. Between July till now. I mean, I know I've experienced it. I've had friends who've had canceled flights. It seems like every other day you hear about multiple thousands of flights getting canceled. I mean, is the picture getting brighter? Voting for this addled old dementia-ridden fool has crippled the economy. Absolutely crippled it. So leading to the inflation and these record high gas prices, Joe Biden canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, but then proceeds to beg OPEC for more oil when we had a pipeline of it. He also approved a Russian pipeline. So, you know, let our enemies get more oil independent while we have to, you know, suck up to the Middle East. Supply chain issues. Glad we've got someone who's on top of those. Mayor Pete can't fix potholes in South Bend, but he can go on paternity leave for 2 months while we have cargo ships sitting in the bay off California. So not only do we not have people to unload the ships, they're thinking about putting vaccine mandates on truck drivers. So we're going to lose people to ship things once they get off the container. Basic logic. Fun stuff. Labor force participation rate is down to, I believe, like 60%. Pre-pandemic, it was at 62%, which 2% doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're talking in a country of 325 million people, that can be a big change. So, yeah, our unemployment right now might be at about 3.9, but we're missing at least 2%, if not more, from the labor force because no one wants to work. No one's looking because a lot of it, I wonder if you're going to catch on, is due to Joe Biden's stupid policies. Extending federal unemployment benefits. Giving people like an extra $600 a week on top of their unemployment. I wonder why we had labor shortages the entire freaking year. People were making more money sitting at home on their ass than getting up and going to work. Like, every jobs report this year, almost every, I think every report except one, which was maybe October, failed miserably to meet expectations. Like, they missed their projections, they missed their marks by hundreds of thousands. Like 4 or 5 months in a row. And I think October, when they finally beat projections, it's because the projection was some stupid low number, like 100,000 jobs. It's mind-boggling to me. So, yeah. But, hey, White House has jokes. They put out a chart that shows Joe Biden created more jobs than any president because reasons. Joe likes to gamble with American lives over politics by rationing the monoclonal antibodies to red states. If anyone remembers this, the fight between DeSantis and the federal government, still going on. Joe Biden is still trying to ration monoclonal antibodies and distribute them from a federal level, not letting states buy them directly based on what states need them because reasons. He has record low approval ratings for a first-term president. His disapproval rating is at 56% right now. I believe he's at like 38, maybe 38% approval. So he's like negative 20 points. Like, I just don't understand how... this incompetent, bumbling fool. And it keeps getting worse. So starting now, this year in 2022, anyone who has a small business and they use payment apps like Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, they must report business transactions totaling $600 or more to the IRS. Previous threshold was 20,000. So if you, you know, if you have a side hustle selling Etsy or whatever, and you make, you know, maybe you're making some cash money or something, or any sort of cash business, guess what? Every bit over 600 is going to be reported to the IRS. So I'm not saying that you people should be avoiding taxes, but it's like, if you're making just a small side income selling, I don't know, stupid things like rocks or something for $5 and all of a sudden you break $600, the IRS is going to come after you for that. Like, come on. But it's supposed to target the uber wealthy upper class, you know, the 1%. We've had this year, this past year, record illegal immigration number. Kids were on top of each other in cages at the border. And our border agents have had 1.6 million encounters with illegals at the border. This is four times what it was in 2020. And the highest total on record. And the best part, the best part of this, only 60% of those illegals are getting deported. The rest are just being, quote unquote, apprehended and then re-released with a court date, but no way of tracking them. So, bye-bye. Do you know how many were getting deported in 2020 when Trump was in office? 90%+ usually. It was like the apprehended percentage was never above 20. Everyone, like 80%+ were deported every single month when Trump was in office. And then as soon as this dillweed gets in office, you just see the deportations drop. So it's like 60%, and it's terrible. Joe Biden, who says he's not a dictator, issued more executive orders in his first 2 weeks than any other president ever. In fact, FDR, he created 30 executive orders. Like, he holds the record by far for executive, like 3,000 something executive orders, because he was transforming the country. FDR's first month, he had 30. Joe Biden signed 28 in 2 weeks. But he's not a dictator, guys. He's not a dictator, I promise. He also instituted critical race theory training for federal employees. This is the least transparent administration of my lifetime, at least. They lie about everything. They avoid questions. Jen Psaki has to constantly circle back and has just the worst, most condescending attitude I've ever seen of a press secretary. They lie consistently about everything, Afghanistan, Hunter's laptop, who Hunter is selling his art to for $500,000, where Joe Biden is. Like, the lies are endless. And, he also has the worst possible vice president I've ever seen in my entire life. And her approval rating's like at 28%. So, that's all we got for today, guys. Joe Biden easily gets an F. And I would say he probably gets an F for the entire presidency based on just this year alone. I would give him negative points if possible. So, as if anyone was surprised. But, hey, you know, all we can do is keep on chugging on, you know, try and make a little bit of extra income to keep up with this inflation and see what we can do with these 2022 elections, guys. Get out, vote, get these leftist dictators out of power, get involved in your community. You know, we got to turn this around. And one of the big things the left has over the right is they get out into those smaller offices in the communities and they just let it spiral up. So we got to get out there. We got to get them out of the local offices. We got to get them out of the federal offices. Get involved in your community. And let's see if we can try and turn this around. Let's put a stop to this absolute insanity and craziness and plug the holes. All right, happy new year, everybody. Hope it goes better in the next coming weeks than it did all last year. Have a good one. This has been Unpopular Opinions. Thanks for listening to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to your podcast. You can also interact with us on Facebook and Instagram at unpopularopinions.tm. Have a good one.